प्रतिष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा Actually, it's a great joy for me to be present here for the Prerana. Only, it was a shock for me to be sitting here today. On the order of Gauranga Prabhu. Still, I will try to blabber some few minutes of my babyish talk and wait for His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj to come and continue. The topic for today is engineering a better world, isn't it? Engineering a better world. See, when you say engineering, in engineering you design a product, you make a product, you improve a product, and try to make it in such a way that it can give you happiness. Then you think of productivity, producing more with less input. So this is a very interesting topic, engineering a better world. So is a modern man engineering the world around in a way that brings him happiness? Or is he engineering the world in such a way that it brings him suffering? That is actually the question. Actually, the Philips company, they have a slogan, let's make things better, isn't it? So their man is certainly trying to make things better and better. Like the first generation computers in 1960s, they were like the size of a house, practically. Then second generation, third generation, fourth generation, fifth generation, as they proceeded, it became a desktop computer, then a laptop, now you have a palm top computer. Now you have all the computer facility in the mobile, practically. So, man certainly has learned the art of making things very sleek and very attractive looking. He's certainly making things better and better. Someone told me the weighing machines in those days used to be like a big suitcase. Then gradually they became small. Now the weighing machines have become like a thin sheet now. Many of the big managers carry a weighing machine like a laptop with them because they have to keep checking their weight because they have obesity problem. So the size of the machines are becoming smaller whereas the cross-section is increasing more and more. Isn't it? So modern man is making things better but not people better. So, here the question is, are we engineering a better world? So, when we ask this question, any of us can very easily look around the world in which we live in. And we can very easily say that things seem to be getting from bad to worse around us. Way back, in Srila Prabhupada's times, Prabhupada said that the trains are overloaded with people, even in his times. And today, needless to say, you all are seeing how every 2 minutes the trains come and how they are overloaded. You can see, is it getting any better? Similarly, the news about stress, the news about hypertension, the news about loneliness, depression, suicides, divorces, these are all going on increasing more and more. Criminalism, all these things. So, one has to ask the serious question. Why man is not able to make this world a better and better and better place? So why is he not able to engineer out this world in such a way that can give him happiness? So much of advancement in science, advancement in technology, advancement in medicine. Still, why man is becoming more and more unhappy? This is a very important question. You see, when Prabhupada went to the West, he would right away challenge with this question what I am telling you now. That, you know, man has gone higher and higher and higher, like as if climbing a 100-story building. But then after reaching the 100th floor, he has forgotten the key to the room. He has to come down again. That's what has happened in the modern day scenario. So, because I'm going to only speak for a few minutes, I want to right away come to the solution part. The solution is very important. It is not enough to present only the problem. Otherwise, you all will have to live with a lot of tension in your heads. Isn't it? So it's important to tell the solution also. So, first of all, the very first thing, we have to align with nature and God to actually make this world a better world. And this is not only the godly people talking about. Even the atheists are coming to realize that the more we go far away from nature, the more we will suffer. Today, man is talking so much about the environment. The color of care is green. They advertise everywhere. So, sometimes you find in the advertisements, when there are rain showers or when there is a green farm, lushy green farm, and people go, they enjoy so much in the lap of Mother Nature. Is it not true? You can see that. On the other hand, the synthetic things never make us happy. The more the synthetic offices with synthetic chairs and synthetic tables and synthetic rooms with air condition and no fresh air, synthetic smiles, synthetic handshakes, they don't make us happy. We get fed up. We get sickly by that. But when we come close to nature, we truly become happy. That is why now in the West, if anyone sees you using a polythene cover, they will look up and down at you. From India also, when you go, be careful, don't carry a polythene bag. Because now modern man has become so cynical about all these synthetic things. Because the farther he went from nature, the more he suffered. And the closer you align with nature, so it's becoming eco-friendly in so many respects. So you will see in the modern days, man went too far and now he is taking a U-turn and coming back to square A. You will see that. For example, in those days, there were no fertilizers, artificial fertilizers. Cow dung was a fertilizer. And the cows and calves would run here and there and put cow dung and that will become natural fertilizer. Insecticide and all these things. Whereas modern man started using insecticides and pesticides and artificial fertilizers, creating so much diseases. And then the doctors get a big business after that. When people have diseases, they have great joy. Isn't it? So in this way, when people suffer, then again man is coming back to organic vegetables. Now organic vegetables are more costly. Isn't it? Although they don't use any fertilizer. Still it's costly. Just like black and white photo is more costly than color photo now. So it's like that when you go back to organic, man is coming back. Again. In the same manner you will see everything in nature. Now there is Himalayan waters. Water bottle. People are drinking fresh waters from the from the Himalayan and this thing. So, in this way you will find man is returning back. Whatever the Vedas say as something very good for human beings, man is returning to that. Just as many Westerners are coming to India in search of truth, same way they are also returning to the original Vedic culture. Everywhere we can see that. man taking a U-turn. So, going against nature, there are so many things we can talk about how man has gone away from the natural laws. When natural laws are broken, then man suffers. You will see, this world is designed in such a way that we break God's laws, immediately there is suffering also. It's designed like that. Somebody smokes and they get a cancer. Somebody, you know, drinks liquor, they get some cirrhosis, liver cirrhosis. Somebody indulges in illicit connection, they get sexually transmitted diseases and all that. There is a result kept. Subsequently, the result comes. At the same time, amazingly, you will find when you do the right thing, you get positive results also. You do yogasanas, you will have a very healthy body. Some people are 60, 70 years old. When they do yogasanas, they look like young boys. Any of you have seen like that, yoga teachers? They look young. Because when you do yogasanas, you become healthy. Similarly, you do mantra meditation. When you collect all the diffused rays of your mind and focus it at one point, then you become gradually calm, cool, collected, and focused, with more ability to discriminate, with more determination, more courage. So young boys who are just 18, 20 year old, they get the maturity of 80 year old people by doing meditation. You can see that. So in this way we can see, when you do the right thing, you get good results. When you do the wrong thing, you get bad results. It's actually kept. The laws of nature are only designed like that. The laws of God are, like I read a story, interesting story. Once a ship was proceeding in an ocean, and a very proud, big senior officer was traveling in it. And then he saw light in the dark night. He saw another light of another boat or something coming in the opposite side. And he was wondering, is coming straight in the same direction as us? So he sent a signal. He said, take a 20 degree turn, he said. Then the signal came back, you take a 20 degree turn. And this fellow got angry. He again sent a signal, I am telling you, I am A-class officer, take a 20 degree turn, he said. And the reply came, sir, I am a C-class servant, we request you that you take a 20 degree turn. He again got angry. Then he sent a signal saying, if you don't take a turn, I will dismiss you from the job. And then came the reply, sir, I cannot take a turn because I am lighthouse. So the meaning, you see, this story has a great meaning. You see, God's laws are called as lighthouse principles. What are they? Lighthouse principles. Lighthouse cannot be moved. So God's laws cannot be broken. We can only break ourselves against them. We cannot break God's laws. Like one man was asking Prabhupada, Swamiji, I will smoke. What will happen? You say we should not smoke. I will smoke. Prabhupada said, yes, you can smoke, but you can't escape from the consequences of smoking. You subsequently have to suffer. Like somebody said, I'll break the signal. And I will, you know, break the red signal and I will go ahead. I'll speed in my bike. Yes, you can. But then you'll be immediately caught by the police and charged. Fined. You see? So, this is the very first thing. Align with nature's laws and God's laws. You see, the Ayurveda, for example, so simply teaches. Early morning when you rise in the morning, drink a cup of water. At noon you drink some chach, buttermilk. Night, before going to bed, you drink a cup of milk, you will never get sick. Simple principles. These are all natural laws. But people put all kinds of Pepsi and all this dangerous drinks into the system, and later on they complicate the system so much, if you see. So, the modern day drinks, one time in the train while traveling, I saw one man purchase the chill Pepsi, big bottle, and was drinking gada 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 gada, big bottle. And he is taking his son in the lap and feeding that fellow, small boy. I was thinking, pathetic situation. How can I explain to him? You know, I try to tell him, the scientist put one tooth in a Pepsi bottle, you know that? In 1 week it dissolved. And that fellow was asking, he doesn't understand. So many people are ignoramus. They don't know what is right, what's wrong. And modern people are becoming more and more fooled because of their gullibility. But actually we have to certainly become wise to know what are the laws of nature, what are the laws of God. So in the human form of life, we don't understand these things, then we cannot align. Before aligning, one should have knowledge. Otherwise, how can we align? So this is one thing. Second thing, we should know the best purpose of life. Why I am calling it as best purpose? Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, there are three types of people who have different goals in their life. The lowest person thinks, you ask him, sir, what's the goal of your life? He will say, to eat food, sleep well, and enjoy my senses. That's the ultimate goal of life. He is in tamoguna person. He doesn't have anything else. Just enjoy. That's all. And then higher than that is a person who is a person in passion. He delights in doing some work and he wants to show to people, kuch karke dikhana hai. You know, sometimes he may do some great work and then he may even gift it to people. I did it. Like, you know, so that there is a pride in doing something great, in being the first one to do something or being unique in doing something, outstanding in doing something. So these are people who are passionate. In fact, in their excitement of passion, they forget the goal of life. All life. One boy was asking me in IIT, sir, I enjoy the laboratory work so much. I feel, let me do the laboratory work all my life. And after I die also, I don't know where will I go, but I enjoyed my life. You see, okay, you enjoyed your life. But if you don't have knowledge, you will not know how your action is going to bring what results. Like in Pune, one very well-to-do man suddenly became charitable. Now he wanted to give charity. Somebody told him, giving charity is very good. Daan giving is very good. So immediately he arranged 10,000 people feast by supplying them mutton, goats. Yeah. So one of our Arishna devotees came across that fellow. They said, hey, your charity is good, but it's a dangerous charity. You're killing thousands of goats, you're giving like this. So he said, I was not aware of this. He said, my brother is in another town. So he also, I told him to do charity. He is starting a liquor company. Giving free jobs, you know, people to, thousands of people he is going to employ. So then our devotee told him about four regulative principles. He said, this is the first time I am hearing, he said. So people are very much ignorant. They are not aware. So a person in passion is so excited about what he is doing, he doesn't even know the consequences. Where is he going to end, is it not? Then there is a person who is in goodness. How does a person in goodness act? The example is given, sometimes a child is making some sandcastle in an ocean beach, isn't it? Parents are sitting in a car chatting and they allowed the child to go and play in the sand and he is making some sandcastle and things like that. And the sun is about to set, the mother is calling, or father is calling, Beta, Ajav, now we are going home now. And he knows very well, I have to leave the sandcastle behind. And I have to go with the parents. He knows. But still, he did his part. He wanted to play for some time. He played. He knows this is all a play. That's all. And then he does his hands and sits in the car and he pushes off. This is a person in mode of goodness. He knows, in this world, somebody is an engineer, somebody is a doctor, somebody is a chartered accountant, somebody is this, somebody is that. But this is like a child's play only. Once the time comes, Krishna calls you, come now. You know, to push off. Is it? You know. So, if we can understand, life is simply a play, and this is not the ultimate goal. This is one of the purposes of life. So, every one of you sitting here, you have your duties to your parents. You have your duties to relatives. So naturally, you have to go through the college, get a job, and then, you know, get a better job. You know, many of you get married, and then you have children. Family goes on. But you know very well one thing. that this situation is not a permanent situation. It's a temporary situation. Very important to remember this. Like you see, when you come in the train, you find life is like a journey, like a train. At one station, somebody gets down in, you know, Dadar. Is it not true? And then after that, some station, then another fellow gets down. Similarly, only Bade Dadaji, utar gaye. Uske baad, Chote Dadaji, wo bhi utar gaye. Aur dheere dheere hamare pitaji bhi utar jayenge. Humko bhi utarna padega. Everybody one by one gets down, isn't it? This should be remembered always. Life is temporary. So everybody in this world is, this metal body is like a bubble. Like sometimes you see a river bubble, it moves for some distance. Pluck! Finished. Then after some time another bubble, pluck! That is also over. One by one, the bubbles will blip and they will vanish. Similarly, we have seen our great-grandfather passing away, grandfather passing away. One by one, everybody comes to pass. That should be remembered always. So this body also will come to pass. Is it not true? If this body is going to pass, then who am I? What is the ultimate goal of life? What is the best purpose of life? That's very important. If we don't know the goal of life, we would simply live like an ignoramus in this world. Is it not true? What is the use of a beautiful ship which has no compass? In the Atlantic. Can you imagine? In the middle of Atlantic, you find water all around. You don't know which direction to go. Only problem is there is no compass. Similarly, if you have no goal of life, we don't know. Where are we going? Nowadays, the modern times, you find one new category of argument. You find some boys say, you see, don't harm anyone. Don't do bad to anyone. Kisi ko bura mat karna. Shanti se jiyo bas. No need to go to God also, you know. No need to go to God and no need to go to temple and all. Don't do any harm. Be a good person. Be good. Do good. Be moral. That's all. That's the goal of life. There are many people who say that. What is it like? You see, there are many people in... See, India is naturally a Punya Bhumi. So many people follow many of the laws. Like, you know, it's not that everybody was drinking, smoking and... eating all kinds of things and everything. There are some people who are not doing one thing or the other. In India, you'll find. But simply following the moral codes is not all. It is not the ultimate goal of life. It's like if you are going in a car, you see a red signal, you stop. You see a yellow signal, you are preparing to move. Then you see a green signal, you move. And a car is going round and round, and then you ask a fellow, "Hey, where are you going?" You say, "I follow all the laws. I always keep left. I don't break the signal." "That is all right, but where are you going?" "That I don't know." He keeps going round and round and round, without knowing where is he going. And this is the situation of many pious people, you see. And the pious people have no impetus to want to go to spiritual world. Actually, there are some pious people, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati called the name pious materialists, he called them. See, there is materialist, pious materialist. Two types of people. Materialist means, you know, he is a hardcore atheist, you know, just eat, drink and be merry. He is simply materialist. Pious materialist means, he will go to some temple, some god, anybody. He can go to Vaishnavi Devi, he can go to Shirdi, he can go anywhere. Some place he will go, he doesn't know who is inside, he doesn't know that. He will just close his eyes. He will just pray. What he will pray? Generally he will say, "Hey Bhagavan, pass kara do." Okay, theek hai, pass kara diya. "Hey Bhagavan, naukari de do." Theek hai, naukari bhi de diya. Now 5 years have passed away. "Hey Bhagavan, shadi nahi ho, shadi kara do." Theek hai, shadi bhi ho gaya. Abhi shadi ho kar 5 saal ho gaya. Bachcha nahi hua. "Hey Bhagavan, bachcha de do." Theek hai, bachcha bhi ho gaya. Now 15 years he didn't go to temple. And that God was wondering, he never came to temple. And after 15 years he goes to temple and praying. "Abhi kya chahiye tumko? Mere bachche ko pass kara do." "Aur agle saal kya hai? Mere bachche ko naukri de do." So these people never get tired of asking for boons, is it? So these are called the pious. So the pious materialists are always absorbed in eye and mind bubble. They have bubble around them. Main aur mera. Dusra kuch nahi. Even when some people go to Shirdi, if you ask them what is written behind, they don't know. Only devotees know. If you ask Harakshana devotees, they will say, Sabka Malik Ek Likha. Some people, devotees know. But most people don't even see that because they are not concerned about whom they are worshipping. What God is standing there, is he Bhagavan, is he Supreme, or is he, nothing, no question. Just go to any temple and pray for this kind of thing. They are pious materialists, you see. So these people don't have very clear-cut goal of life. So, one beauty you will find in the Shastra. See, religion and science, if you make a comparison, you will find. Science is research-oriented. Religion is result-oriented. You will see that. For example, in science you find they are doing so much research. One scientist will present one viewpoint, another fellow will come and defeat it. Like Dalton said, atom cannot be split. Rutherford said, atom can be split. And then Bohr came and gave a bigger model after that. They will go on changing. Or Newton and Huygens will have a big argument whether light is a wave or a corpuscle. And they will be having a hair-splitting fight. Because light behaves in two different ways. Sometimes like a wave, sometimes like a particle. So, in this way, the research goes on and on and on. Somebody will propose one thing and then another fellow will come and defeat and publish another paper and it keeps on going on changing like that. There is no end result there. Whereas religion you will find it has very clear end result. Like if you say, you sow this mango seed in the ground and you water it and a tree will come. Okay, if you water it, what will I get? You'll get mangoes here. Water here, mango there. Somebody chant Hare Krishna, what will I get? Krishna Prem. By getting Krishna Prem, go back to Godhead. So very clear-cut result, you will see, is presented. So we should be clear about what is the fountainhead of all liberties. See, liberty, like for a boy who is very naughty, you know, when he leaves the home and telling the parents, I'm going to school, but he's going to cinema theater. That is also liberty. Is it not? But once the parents come to know, they will catch him by the ear. Are you going to school? Are you going to movie? They'll give a slap, is it not? So the liberty is finished very quickly. You see? And then in this way, there is better. Like India got a, you know, freedom struggle. After that, India got freedom now. What kind of freedom is that? One fellow goes and another fellow comes. Mughals went away. Then British came. After the British also, then other guys were trying. Japanese were trying to come. Then Chinese were trying to come. Pakistanis are still trying. You know? So, you will see, lion will go and tiger will come. It's not that, you know, we get complete freedom in this world. Or even if you get freedom also, that freedom is not ultimate freedom. Because you may get our own political leaders of India, so no other country is lording over us. But you will find even inside people also can create so much trouble. Our own people. There are many, many politicians at the top who are not able to do good to the world because they don't have knowledge. Unfortunately, they don't know what's the right way of, you know, organizing the whole society, you see. So, but you will find that even after getting national freedom, but individually we don't have much freedom. Like we don't have, you will find we have very stringent laws. Like Prabhupada says, you know, you are eating food, lunch you've eaten very heavy, already. But suddenly you go to the marketplace, you find somebody is eating crackjack biscuits. So you also want to buy. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 biscuits, so you get finished. Next day you'll have serious problem. You'll find. One thing you put extra, then there are problems. You'll find. This body doesn't allow anything. Actually, there are laws are made in such a way that you break the laws, immediately there is punishment awaiting in this world. Like one of our devotees went to a company in Pune, Hinjewadi, to give a seminar. So he was telling that we are not in control. God is in control. He made the statement. So one of the IT engineers, he had an objection. He said, how do you say we are not in control? We are in control of so many things. So he got a little upset. So he said, yes sir, we are in control. I'm not saying we are not in control, But our control is very limited. God's control is complete. We don't have control like him. But still that man didn't believe. So when this devotee was trying to explain, suddenly the air conditioner stopped. You know. So everybody was sweating and fuming, and they got up and they told to open the windows. What happened to the air conditioner? They called the repairing man and he came. 20 minutes that fellow opened with the spanner, tried this, that, nothing worked. And after that they just kept the window open and no fans were also there. So people just were tolerating the summer heat. So after this 20 minutes of trying went on and the fellow went away, our preacher told him, this is what I told you, we are not in control. He told him, now you see, your technology is so advanced but you could not set it right. In this way, if you very carefully see, our control is very limited. You see, I am in Pune, one morning Mangalharati, Samsardhavanla started. So I raised my hands and I was dancing. First paragraph got over. Suddenly I felt something biting in my thighs. I started jumping up and down. And devotee said, now only started jumping. Beginning only. You know. So I was thinking, you know, how can I go outside the temple hall during Mangalarti? Let the 8 paragraphs get over. Then I will go and find out. So I tolerated, and then after second or third paragraph, again I got a biting. Again I jumped up. Then after 4 paras, I couldn't tolerate anymore. I immediately ran to the last room. Then I opened my dhoti and found, is there any bug or something? What is it? I just found one small tiny creature, one black dot, red dot, ant. You have seen the tiny ant? That tiny fellow, he made my whole morning miserable. So, later on, you know, generally, just before the japa, I generally speak one japa talk. So I was telling the devotees, till today I have been thinking I am president of the temple. Now I know there is one super president. And everybody asked, who is that? Then I showed the ant, this is a fellow. Because this fellow is controlling me also. Yeah? But smaller than an ant is the swine flu virus, which you can't even see also with eyes. Somebody is walking on the road, he is coughing and depositing some swine flu, which you and I cannot see with our eyes. And then another fellow is passing by, inhaling it. Finished. So we are controlled by things we can't even see with our eyes. What kind of controllers are we? Tell me. What kind of controllers are we? Why are we proud of being controllers in this world? We should ask this question to ourselves. To the degree we know that we are controlled, we can take shelter of God. Otherwise we cannot take shelter. Because modern education puffs us, increasing our ego more and more. False ego. Ahankar. We think we are in control of everything. The problem is what? We control everything with remote. Remote air conditioner, remote television control. Now we can open the door also with remote. For everything remote control, is it not true? You press the remote and call someone. So because we control, then we think everything is in my fingertips. Nowadays this mobile, you know, touchpad and all comes, you know, people do like this, shh, like this, you know, moving this way, that way and everything. It's like some magician putting some spell or something, move like this, move. And people think, I have a lot of control, you see. They get a feeling like that. So this is a very dangerous thing. It is simply an imagination that we have so much control. At the right time when you want to send a message, the signal goes off. You feel like crushing the mobile, you know. You tell them, I'll break you if you don't go now, this message, important message, you know. So, we don't have much control. This has to be realized. Okay, if I am not in control, then who is in control? Krishna is in control of everything. Maya adhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam etunanena kaunteya jagadvi parivartate. Krishna does so many magic things. See, I was just hearing one Prabhupada's lecture a few days ago. He's asking the devotees, see this coconut tree, just count how many coconuts are there. Prabhupada says, there are some 40 coconuts. And in each coconut tree there are you know, two glassfuls of water. So that's like, you know, almost 1 liter. So 40 liters of water in this 40 coconuts. So Prabhupada was asking the disciples, how this so much 40 liters of water went to the top from the ground? And that too, the shell is very hard. Hard shell of the coconut. And outside that, there's a green, very big fiber also. How this water went in? So much of water. How this water was lifted? And you guys, if you want to lift, you need a motor to lift water. Isn't that right? And the fellow was telling, no, Swamiji, this is due to some principle of osmosis. What is that osmosis? So the tree has a root and it absorbs water. Prabhupada said, then why don't you also send water up with some osmosis principle? Why do you need motor? Because you don't have to pay the electric charges. You cannot do it. There are a lot of magic things Krishna does like this in the nature. You will find like this amazing things when you look at the nature around. Miraculous things. So, we should look at the world around us and learn to admire Krishna and His miracle. Like Prabhupada is asking, the water is dead, sun is dead, wind is dead, but how beautifully they are cooperating with each other to bring forth the clouds and shower the rains. In thermodynamics, you study about the Y chart, we call it, where you study about the ice, the water and the steam. And these are PVT conditions are different completely. So the pressure, volume, temperature conditions are changed for the water to be evaporated by the sun. Then afterwards the PVT conditions are changed for the clouds to be taken to another place by the blown by the wind. And then it showers down as rains. In rainy season you can see so many clouds. So in Chennai, the government, Tamil Nadu government tried a lot in bringing about artificial rains. See, the names when they use it appears very attractive. Sometimes the ways the scientists use the name, sometimes it's called as like euphemism, they say. Sometimes what they do, they use such a name as if they have conquered nature. When you hear artificial rains, you think, oh, scientists have brought artificial rains. But what is it? You see, first of all, to bring such rains, you have to blow the clouds and bring them from the outskirts of the city to the top of the city. And some clouds are as huge as 10 miles. Huge. So they spend crores of rupees money to blow and bring the clouds. After that they have to put silver cyanide, which is actually very poisonous. When you put it in that, then actually if the water comes down, that water is very dangerous. It is not potable, it is not pure. But still when they tried, only few drops of water came. That's all. That is why they kept quiet. Nobody talked about it. Because they spent some 4 crores of rupees and they must have got 200-300 rupees water. Nobody wants to talk about it. So our Chaitanya Charan Prabhu wrote a beautiful article. He said, artificial rains, imaginary gains, real pains. You know. So, man appears he has control, but he has no control. What control we have over nature? On the other hand, you will find God is doing all miraculous things very easily. Another interesting thing you will find, everything happens according to schedule, you will see. Is it not true? Like you see, the earth is revolving around the sun in 365.256 days, even up to the third decimal. Like you see, if something is happening according to schedule, that's a schedule maker. Is it not true? Otherwise, like somebody made the schedule today, it has to start at 7:15. So program starts at 7:15 program, you see. So everything in nature is working according to schedule. The sun is rising in the morning, the moon is rising in the evening, the seasons are changing in time, the rains are coming in time, the monsoons are coming, spring, autumn, winter, all different seasons are changing. So, any educated, wise person will have no reservation in recognizing Krishna's magic in the world we are living around. So, but on one hand, we should know how controlled we are. On the other hand, we should know how great God is. When we know these things, then we will become very enthusiastic to inquire about the purpose and meaning of life. You see? Then only we will be able to. So, actually, once the Prabhupada asked this question, why everyone is struggling for happiness? So then the disciples said, that's because, you know, in this world there is misery, suffering, and everybody is struggling to counteract misery. Prabhupada said, no, that's not the answer. Yes, there is suffering in this world. People are trying to counteract. That's not a very great answer, Prabhupada said. And then Prabhupada said, the answer is this. Everyone is naturally happy. Huh? Everyone is? Naturally happy. Every one of us sitting here, originally we are happy. And that is why we are looking for happiness. Right now our situation in this world is an artificial situation. Just like rainwater is originally pure. When it touches the ground, it becomes muddy. But again you distill it, again it becomes pure. So originally we are happy. So that is why we all are looking for happiness. And looking for happiness is very natural for us. But only thing is we should know what is the method of becoming truly happy. So as long as we are trying to control the things in this world and try to become controllers, try to become separate enjoyers. See, separately we cannot be happy. We have to be connected to Krishna. Like this hand, for example, it can do so many things. I can count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It can just be used for counting. I can grasp an object. And if some object falls on me, I can prevent it with my hands. Or if somebody comes to hit me, I can punch on his nose. Is it not true? The hand can do so many things. Or I can lift a bag or something. And if somebody thinks this hand is doing so many nice things, let me cut and take the hand with me, keep with me whenever I want, I can use. Can the hand do something? The hand is able to do these things because of its connection to the body. So, without connection to Krishna, there is nothing, no power only. Impossible. It's like all these bulbs are glowing because they have connection to the pole from which they draw the electricity. You see? One time Srila Prabhupada was walking in London with some of his disciples. So while walking he saw some grass was yellow. And then he took his stick and asked the devotees, see this grass, it is green. This grass is yellow. Why? He asked. And the disciples could not say. Prabhupada said, because this grass is disconnected from the root. So it has become dry. So if you become disconnected from Krishna, you will dry up. If you connect yourself with Krishna, you will be happy. Very simple. Neyam so bishyate tatra yate danim gadadhara svapadaye rankita bhati svalakshana vilakshitaihi. Kunjimanan is telling, oh Krishna, our Hastinapuram was always decorated with your lotus footprints, which are glowing beautifully when you walk from one place to another. And wherever you put your footprints, there is samriddhi there. Immediately there is prosperity there. I can see that there is lushy green forests, and there are crops, and there are herbs, and there are vegetables. The rivers are full of water. The rains are coming in time. And the ocean is full of navaratnas. And the mountains are full of minerals like gold and silver and diamond and everything. There is no scarcity. And the cows' udders are full of milk. Cows, when they run from one place to another, they are dripping milk. And that milk is making a milky churn. There is so much prosperity, she is telling, when you put your lotus feet or when you glance with your eyes. So when Krishna glances at nature, nature smiles. When Krishna turns his face away from nature, nature dries up. And when will Krishna put his glance on the nature? When we please him. So all the living beings in this world, all of us, we have to please Krishna. Then Krishna will order the nature. And then the nature will provide us everything. We'll get grains, we'll get rains, we'll get fruits. And not only that, not only get things, those things will make you happy also. That is another thing. In America, people have everything but they're not happy still. The reason is given in the Bhagavad Gita. You can read this verse, 4th chapter, 31st verse. You will find, Nayam lokosti ayajnyasya kutonya kuru sattama. Krishna is asking, in this world one does not try to please God. Even though he may have the things, he can't be happy. Like crorepatis are having money, but they can't get sleep at night. Because anytime somebody will murder them, they have fear. So that money is not making them happy. Yeah, there are software engineers who are drawing 2 lakh per month. But sitting in an AC room, they are sweating because of fear of their boss. Because I think any time boss will catch me, I have to beat the deadline, I have to complete. So money is there, but no happiness is there. But when money, Lakshmi is used in Krishna's service, then there is happiness. You see? So it's a duty of every jiva to make Krishna smile happily. And when Krishna smiles, the nature smiles. Yasmin tushtam, jagat tushtam. So this is true intelligence. Happiness will not come by big industries. You see, there are huge industries, you know, workers working in smithy shops, beating the iron, taking out with tongs and everything. There are people working in, I was a mechanical engineer, so I had to sometimes go for supervision in shop floors where there will be heavy noise. You have to wear a plug in the ears. Heavy, thar, door, doom, tam, and big noise. So much of noise. So whole day, like one time when I was doing a project on this trains, the whole shop floor, so much of noise like that. Now you may say, sir, IT engineers are working in computers, they are more free in the AC room. No. Everything is going to their heads. The entire thing like this, all the time. They get a stiff neck after some time, you know, they have to feel like this, yeah. After 8-10 years of working like that. Modern day people work very hard, 14 hours, 16 hours, they slog like the donkey. They work so hard. Actually, Shastras say, yes, you have to do work. Shastras don't advocate laziness. But how much we have to work and how much we have to pray, we have to know the balance. It's very important. Human energy should not be spoiled. Working hard. And Prabhupada says that you will find that 8 to 10 hours if somebody works, it's enough for keeping body and soul together, surely. But when greed comes, even if you draw lakhs of rupees, you will not be satisfied. Like you see, one time a man was driving a car with his wife, another fellow overtook him. Then this fellow's wife told him, look at you, what kind of man you are. He is overtaking you and you are looking at him, you don't know. He said, no, wait a minute, I will show you. He also. And he was like tailgating means like that, he was going behind. Then he, at last he came almost equal to him, and that fellow understood, he is trying to overtake me, and he was speeding up also. And suddenly this fellow realized, I have gone 20 kilometers ahead. He was supposed to take a left hand somewhere, and he went 20 kilometers ahead. See, one time, I was in one of the companies, mobile companies. I think it was Idea Mobile Companies. Only top 12 managers. We were sitting in a circle. And the seminar was on stress management. So I told them, kindly switch off your mobiles. This is a stress management seminar. At least let you not have any stress during the seminar, at least. So they all switched off their mobiles. So then I asked them this question. Why, many of you say you work for 16 hours a day. Why you work? So one fellow said, Papi Petka Sawal, he was telling. Then I asked, hey, honestly tell me, for filling your belly, you need to work 16 hours a day? Then another fellow said, no sir, that's not the truth. Even if you work 8 hours also, we can easily maintain our livelihood. Then I asked, then why do people in this age work so hard? 14-16 hours. Then he said, interesting point he said, sir, actually we will be happy with 8-10 hours of work and money also. But when you look at other fellows, then we are afraid that, we also have to work like them. We actually look at others and we compete with others. In this way, you compete with him, he competes with you, and there is no end only. Everybody, then they break down afterwards, if you see. So, yes, it is true, you have to work, but if you are going to save time, you should know how to utilize the time and spiritual inquiry. That is very important. That time should be well spent also. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj was telling all his friends, this point only was telling. His friends asked him, Prahlad Maharaj, hey Prahlad, you are saying that materialistic type of living with no understanding of God or goal of life is simply futile, useless, you are saying. But why should we serve Vishnu? What will you get by that? They asked this question. Yata yapurushasyeha Vishnu padopasarpanam na tata vindate kshemam mukunda charanam bhujam. He said, my dear friends, Lord Vishnu or Krishna is very easy to be pleased. Whereas in this world, you cannot please anybody. You will find you have your teacher, you have your mother, you have your father, you have your mother, your uncle, your aunt. You will find that in this world when you try to satisfy someone, isn't that Ramaswamy Maharaj ki? We are very fortunate. Despite Maharaj's telling health, he has come here to be with all of us and give us association. Let's welcome Maharaj with Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.